And welcome back to the Learning Man podcast. My name is Omar Kanzu. I am your host on this journey. And during the pandemic, I actually started this project that kind of evolved into the podcast. About halfway through the process of actually shooting the documentary, shooting these interviews, I realized that some of these stories just need to exist on their own, just the audio, and that some of these stories would be so much stronger if you just heard them and let your imagination do the rest of the work. Over the next few episodes, I wanted to share the audio from several of those interviews with you. So this is with Bjorn Taylor. Bjorn is he's an incredible guy. He is a bartender who has overcome alcoholism. So his story is not about a black man in America. While that is part of his story is more of being an African-American, meaning that his family actually immigrated from Africa. Towards the end, you're also going to hear some of the conversation where we talk about substance abuse, alcohol, and being a bartender, and those types of things as well. And truthfully, all of that audio was actually captured on the hot mic. That part of the interview was actually captured on a hot mic. It was never intended to be part of the documentary, but there was some really great nuggets of truth that I wanted to share with you, the audience. So without further ado, this is Bjorn Taylor. This is the Learning Man.
Action.
My name is Bjorn Taylor, and I am not black.
Cut.
Just to make it clear, I am African American because I have my identity. I know who I am. I was born here in America, in Houston, but I lived overseas in my parents' home country of Liberia, West Africa, which has a rich history in freed slaves, freed by abolitionists. And I just so happened to be someone that came back to the States. I see the word black as a divisional word, and a word that was created in order to just kind of take away identity from folks. Living in America, I obviously have to accept the factor that when I sign a document or any kind of like governmental document, I have to do black, African American. That's fine. I'm not trying to like take away the factor that people identify as black. What I'm trying to do is regroup people's mind and the knowing that there was an identity that was taken away from them. I feel like, you know, many African Americans who I'll say that before I say black, don't want to identify with it because what Western civilization has kind of dubbed Africa as impoverished, poor, unwilling of being loved, right? And that's a colonial that's like colonial thinking, I think. We were colonized by people of white descent, right? But many different heritage, British, Dutch, French, you know, name it. They colonized us and took away our identity, which is African, you know? And I, to this day, consider myself African. African-American second, technically. African first, African-American. I want to have my heritage, and I want to stress the importance that America is an important place, but not necessarily in the realm of taking away my identity as an African-American man. And if you hold your head up as a black man, that's fine. I think that's a proud thing to be, but it's something that, you know, I stress that, you know, people who consider themselves black, like, try to identify with African culture, whether or not it's not even yours, you know what I'm saying? There's plenty of ways to even find out your lineage now. But, you know, I think it having identity builds a little stronger sense of who you are. It also helps between the division that we've already cast upon ourselves, especially here in America. We casted a division on ourselves, white and black. Us against them, right? I don't think it's wrong. You know, the first thing I have to think about as being a black man, you know, if as a black man, right, it's all the things I need to do in white spaces. That's how I carry that with me when I'm walking around, right? When I get pulled over by the cops, they see a black man with dreadlocks first. They don't see African American. But if I carry that in my head, I know I'm proud, I'm good. You know, I can make it through, you know? Again, this is not like an attack on those who still want to identify as just black. This is like a reach out to say, like, expand yourself and try to find identity, because this is something that's been taken away from us. Yeah. Let me gather.
Okay, so you made it this far. The next section, this was a part of the documentary process where Bjorn and I were discussing, you know, what we wanted to capture, kind of talking out through ideas. And then eventually the part after that is it was also captured on a hot mic. That was the part where he and I were just kind of like wrapping everything up, and some really interesting conversation just came out through the process. We talked about substance abuse, we talked about depression, we talked about all different types of things. This conversation really was the catalyst that got me interested and really got me started down the path of the Learning Man podcast. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
Shit, so I deserve some of the shit that's happened to me. So I'm all like, brr. But I've definitely been profiled. You know, let's just talk about profiling in general and space. Okay. Let me see if I can do that.
Okay.
And then I don't know if I link it to there. And the more and more I think about it, it's like, how do you group everyone as human beings? Because I feel like even as I say divisional, I'm like dividing by saying African American. It's so crazy how that, but I'm not. Identity to me is important. Identity makes you, you know, I want to be a part of the American culture and what it is. I do, but I think identity really does kind of strengthen who you are, man. Like, it just adds this extra level of, you know, depth to who you are. And I feel like understanding that and being proud of it is okay. You know what I'm saying? White people are proud of being German, proud, you know, they celebrate things, but white people are proud about being Italian, and that's fine too. You know, now when it gets weird, when you're like, I'm just proud to be white, it's culture that I'm talking about most, more so than anything, which that kind of shit was taken away. Like, culture was taken away. New culture was built and groomed. And maybe that's why people say African American, when they say black, they're talking about American black culture. But all of that culture still was groomed from something that was deeply inherently rooted in the African psyche. Gospel came from chants that Africans kept with them. That's all you could keep. That's the only thing you could keep. And whatever they had in their minds, that's all they could keep. So that culture itself is deeply rooted in Africa itself. So so that's what's rich about it. Like, Americans will look at it and be like, well, it's gospel we created in America. Yeah, it was created by the pain here, but it literally is deeply entrenched in, like, the fucking, like, where you came from, where your slaves came from. You know, so it's crazy to think about that. So maybe I'm not right. Yeah, I had to talk that out, actually. I just realized something. I was like, all right, cool. No, I'm good. Because it's not just black culture here. It literally is still African when you think about it. It literally was manifested through that fucking pain and suffering. So, like, that's, identity is just fucking important. Like, to me, you know, when you paint the picture that, you know, black, the void, this kind of thing, I feel like we have trying to take in the word and tried to make it as positive as possible. But, you know, it's still that. It's still this divisional word. Like, people still don't reach out and like to try and find a, we can use black and say, oh, it's a black culture. But there's so much facets to it, man. I want to know more about Ghanaian folks. I'm Liberian, West Africa. I want to know more about people from Cameroon, Ethiopian, South American, or South African, excuse me. You know, like, here's the thing. I know white people that are way proud to be South African. You know what I'm saying? Which is wild, because that's like, they colonized that place and they claim it. You know, why can't a black American claim Africa? You know, I don't know. It's some crazy shit. It's crazy. Yeah. I just know that, you know, I want to be one of those people, like, if I have a child, I want them to have something that they can take with them. I want them to remember that they come from something rich, not the picture that's been painted by Western civilization, not what's going on now, because I understand it's a third world country. You know, most of these places are third world countries, and I'm not trying to paint this veil, but it's still a beautiful country. It's still beautiful people. It's still my culture, you know? And no Western civilization, no white man is gonna tell me otherwise. You know, because that's just been done to lower my belief in how valued I am, how worthy I am, you know? So yeah, African-American over black to me, you know? You can still call me black, but just remember, I'm gonna remember I'm African-American, you know, I'm African. So yeah, go to my step family. Cause when I go to Chicago to my step family, that is the quote unquote black side of my family. My, you know, they've been here, but they were, my step grandmother is someone who ran away from the Jim Crow South. So it was my step grandfather, you know, one from Alabama, one from Mississippi, to start a life in Chicago, you know, in the black side of town. You know what I'm saying? There's still the division. If you go to Chicago, it's division. It's like all black. And I'm not saying these black folks worked hard. You know what I'm saying? You think about every black space in America, in major American cities. They worked hard to build and mend for themselves. But that division, that's all it was, man. Jim Crow and segregation. It even followed them up there.
Yeah, it bled.
It bled. That's crazy, man. That's crazy to think about. Like, it's, and now we have a chance to be like, all right, cool. We're not just black folks. We're like such a rich culture. And like I said, it's not, you know, you can do 23andMe or all that stuff, but it's like, embrace where we came from. We're Africans. We are Africans. We're Africans, and we should be proud that we are Africans, and we should rich, like we should cherish and learn more about and bring it into the fold, into the schools, into our young kids' heads, you know what I'm saying? So they can understand that there's this rich culture you came from. It's not just America, a soil that is covered in the blood of every color of people, right? But most of the people of color are the ones that fucking like, that are like entrenched in these soils. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in gruesome ways, you know, we fought wars for this country, you know, from the American Revolution and on, but, you know, we were also slaughtered by this country. Natives and everybody, you know, were slaughtered by this country. We were treated like fucking cattle. And to me, that's what resonates when you say black. It's almost like saying nigger to me. Sometimes, in a way, when a person that's hateful says the word black at me, it resonates as fucking hard as it resonates when someone says nigger to me. I swear to God, if you ever had someone who's a, you know, true white supremacist say black bastard or black boy or some shit, it fucks my head up way more harder, I think, almost.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's because the N-word has been taken away from you?
Well, that's the thing. You young generations claimed it. We claimed it. But it's not, it's just, it's a word that's been used so much, especially with the hard ER, that's been used so much that it's just like, you know, as soon as it does come out the lips of someone that's not black, you lose it. Because it's ingrained in this fucking, like, you know, centuries of hate. Boy, too, you know what I'm saying? All of it's like kind of like just ingrained in this thing. So when you feel this, and then growing up here in Texas, it's like, I've had the experience. I've had the experience of like living around cats or living in, you know, when I go out of the city in Houston and go to like Conroe or Victoria or some shit, it's backwards, yo. Like I'm looked upon like a boy still. I wouldn't be surprised if I still am today, you know? Not at all. Because there's superiority when someone thinks about white to black. That's what that is, you know? So I don't know. African-American, dude. I'm sorry. It's hard to insult me and be like, you fucking African-American. I was like, oh, thank you. You know, like I'll take that. You know, you fucking black bastard, or you black, you know what I'm saying? You're reducing me to a thing, a color.
Plus, if they want to insult you using the word African-American.
Exactly, thank you. Or African, you can call me African too. All right, cool, yeah, I am.
You have to make them work a little bit more harder because there's so many syllables,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. This is very true. This is so true. Yeah. Man, this has been a tingling my brain. I have to think about this. I talk about this a lot. I've just never really talked about it out loud. It's really funny that, you know, I'm gonna have it on video. We're gonna see how many of my black friends attack me. I don't care, that's the thing. Open dialogue, I don't give a damn.
Well, that's also the point, right? That's the point. Mm-hmm. It's the point in the project is we will not be silent. So mm-hmm. It's meant to get these different segments of our society people, yeah. To think about identity, think about themselves in the world, and also, which is probably the most important, is to record what history is saying and the environment of where we are. It's a temperature check mm-hmm. of right now, because the next coming generations can look back on something like this, on just not people that are in the news, mm-hmm. just this is
real
this
people is, talking this about
real mm-hmm. people. This is the real temperature check mm-hmm. of where we are as a society right now.
100%. I love it. I fucking love it. I adore it. I didn't know the depth of what you were doing. Now I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm happy to be a part of it. That's it's great. And like I said, you stir some shit like I talk about every now and then, but I never really like, can't, you know, like.
It's very deep.
Yeah, it's real deep. It's real deep. I just did a virtual happy hour, right? For the Commodore one, it's a weird one because it's storytelling. So like it's the longest one I've done because it's like 1 hour and 30 minutes of me talking. While I make these cocktails, but the cocktails have like a link to like my story of my life, right? And I start actually with a thing about appreciation, identity, kind of starting cultural, you know, mix. And then I move into a middle part that's a little bit more about hospitality and inclusion and the way people, and I tell a story about how I was told I was well-spoken, which is open this conversation up because I want, you know, it's also supposed to be an engaging thing where like I'll ask the people on the call, hey, you've ever felt this way? Hey, you've ever done this, da, 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 right? And then the ends with me talking about balance and, you know, finally, which encompasses all of me talking about me being sober and still doing what I do. And how contradictory it might be, but it's still at the same time how not contradictory it is. Because it's like this thing where I'm just like, this is something I enjoy, it's a craft, and there's an appreciation. I think we overdo things. So like alcohol isn't the enemy here. It's the psyche, it's the way we hide our addictions. We don't talk about it. We turn a blind eye to mental health and substance abuse and all the things that, well, that's too hard to take care of and that's too hard to help folks with, you know? We'd rather lock them up or do this shit or cast a shadow on them, which plays a lot into the inclusion thing where it's like, you know, you start getting judged a certain way because you're a substance abuser or this and that, which isn't true. And if someone would be there to, you know, accompany someone who's fucked up, and tell them they're worthy and worth it and help them and talk. And, you know, you could save someone from going down a worse hole. And sometimes it's a, you know, alcoholism is a disease. It's not necessarily, it's genetic. It literally being addicted. It's not alcohol, it's being addicted. You know, you're an addict in your fucking gene. Like, and it's easy to be nurtured. My shit was nurtured through the fucking hospitality. You know, I was just, I thought that's the way you drink. So that's why I binge drink. I thought you get off work, you go and fucking get fucked up. That's just how I thought. That's because it also was a bonding experience. Mentally, I was being played with. Not saying that you shouldn't bond with your coworkers, but there's so many positive things you could do. A lot more positive shit you can do.
It's camaraderie.
Yeah. So I'm just changing. You know, I had that conversation. Like, that's the end of the conversation. I just say there's ways we can change this by just actually identifying it and just talking about it and just, like, you know, instead of just being. I tell them you got your drinks in your hand. I'm like, I'm not here like persecuting you. I'm just letting you know I'm a dude who does this for a living. I've done it for a long time and I love it. And it became an affliction to me, almost to the point where I had to walk away from it. And I did, and, you know, luckily I didn't, because it's been great what's happening with me now. But yeah, man, it's an interesting thing. I hope I can get someone good for you for the alcohol one. I think I can, because that's a good subject matter to talk about as well, because it's such a weird thing to be on the other side of sobriety, like being in. This is even, it's a different place where I'm at right now. I was sober for the first 6 months. I'm in recovery now, because I was just like kind of, now I don't even really think about it. I remember I was bartending during Christmas for Miracle, and they were making shots for themselves to have some shots. And they handed me one, and I was like, I don't drink. That shit came straight out of my mouth, like fast. Like it was natural, which then made me think to myself, man, I'm at a place where it's like, this is real to me. It's not like, oh my God, I'm still thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? Or I feel uncomfortable around people. I don't feel uncomfortable around people no more. That's why I appreciate you even asking, you know, like, it's like, I don't even care no more. It's like, literally, I've seen how good my life is on this side of it because of how much I was doing, how bad I was with the substance, that I was like, I'm good.
That's the reason why I don't gamble.
Oh, dude, I could easily be addicted to gambling if I really. I've done like blackjack and shit before, and I've literally.
Why
you gotta be blackjack? Why can't it just be African American Jack? that's that new Jack Daniels. That's that new Jack Daniels shit. But yeah, I'm an addicted personality in general, man. Women, sex, food. Like, I literally see it manifest itself in different ways, and I'm trying to deal with that. That's why, when alcoholics stop drinking, you know, mostly you go fucking straight for sweets. Yeah, man, you want to fucking, like, there's a lot of sugars in fucking alcohol. And so it's like a lot of, like, cravings, you know. Like, I was eating pints of ice creams and shit in the beginning. Like, I would buy, like, 2 pints of ice cream and eat that shit. I kid you not. In, like, one sitting, I'd be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. It makes me feel better. Also, it's another thing that plays on a mental thing, too. It's just another, like, oh, I like this, so I'm going to, like, do it in excess so I can feel good, you know? And like I said, sex, I did the same thing. It's crazy how that shit that works, man. But
the reason why I said gambling is because I come from, like, there's stories in my family of many generations of gamblers.
No shit.
Yeah, that's the reason why I don't gamble.
I don't blame you. I hate loot.
And I'm the one that, I'm probably the one in my family that drinks the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I drink in excess. I mean, sometimes I do, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that I drink consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Taurus in me, like, refuses to gamble because I hate losing money. I'm like such a penny pincher. Like, I'll do it, but I'm like so fucking like about it. Yeah. But like, I feel like if I had a shitload of money, it wouldn't be an issue. No, I'm gone. I would be the worst.
I would be one of the worst.
Yeah, I would be fucking the worst. Like, but because I'm always like, I think ahead, and I'm very like, I like stability and shit. Especially now that I'm older, Even without the drinking, I still, the funniest part, that's why I survived through drinking a lot too. There's a thing that's sharp in my system that just will not, I hate not being comfortable. And even though I'm drinking in order to feel comfortable, that was mostly a mental thing and a social aspect.
Comfortable or
comfortable in my house, like comfortable
in control.
In control, I think. And that's the thing too. Well, that's the thing about alcoholism too. There's a loss of control, accountability. Like you want to think you're in control, you're not, right? With that, I like my household to feel a certain way, right? And I only up to this point, I just started living on my own like a year ago. You know, within Austin, because I lived on my own before, but I couldn't afford that year in Austin, so I had to live with people. So it's hard to make, but in my space, like if you came in my room and each place I lived, it was like a place. Like it had to be a certain way. And that is a control thing, obviously, yeah? So, and I had to eat a certain, or I wanted to, I will spoil myself, but at the same time, I'll destroy myself by drinking because it's something mentally that I was trying to battle. So it's like I was fucking in a weird cycle, you know, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But now I'm like, I'm good. I'm not going to say I'm perfect because it's like, it's a constant thing. You know, I'm in recovery. I'm like still susceptible to drinking. So I try to be as careful as I can in spaces that have alcohol. Like when I'm in the bars and shit, I think real fucking sharply about consequences. That's usually all that comes to mind in the bar when I'm like, because the thought of drinking never comes up in me, but it's like consequences. Like if, let's say I have one, just thinking, oh, I can do this because I taste already to make cocktails. Next thing you know, a fucking domino effect. And then I remember, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I've been there. I've been soiled myself so many times. I've been in cop cars and locked up. I've been an embarrassment to myself, an embarrassment to friends. I've fucking did things that I'm not fucking proud of. It's crazy. And it's not beating myself up now at this point. At this point, it's like looking out how glorious it is to be free of that fucking bondage of addiction because I was not functioning well. When I was way under the influence, because I'm a good person, and a lot of fucking like every person who suffers from some kind of affliction is a good person, but when they're overtaken by the affliction, they become literally someone that's not fucking thinking about anything else but that fucking affliction, and you have to break that shit. That like you have to, you know. And it is practice too, which I'm not gonna lie. Work happens to be my practice. I just keep myself as busy as I can. But for the most part, you know, meditation, writing about it, talking about it. This actually year is like work as well. Like talking about it reiterates something for me. That's like, you notice this, you're better, right? You notice that you're being honest. Another thing, honesty. God damn, honesty. I'm like the person who was I was always omitting truths. And now like, I'm like, you know, I would think I'm like, I'm just breezing around shit, but now I'm like fully honest and it feels fucking fantastic because what burden do you have when you're all out in the open and vulnerable? There ain't no burden.
And that's also part of the recovery process, mm-hmm. is being able to change that the chemistry in your brain, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's the biggest part of it, I think.
100%, yeah. I'm just so fucking happy, Omar. You don't even understand. Like, all these opportunities, all this, I didn't know if I was still drinking, I couldn't function, I wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? I would probably just make an excuse or something. I changed the way I do things. I'm not as fucking finicky. I'm not flaky. I show up when I can. I also pull back when I can't do something. I'm trying my best. That's one thing I'm bad at. Like, I overwhelm myself sometimes by taking on a lot. But now I kind of know how to pump the brakes a little bit and be like, all right, at this moment, I can't do something. Or, you know, and not feel guilty. Again, coming back to that control thing. Like, because I always want to control it. You always want to control it. I couldn't. Yeah, now it's like, nah, and it's not like this easy breeze thing, it's just know yourself. You know, be honest as much as you can to yourself and to other people. Because no one's gonna fucking hold you. I mean, I'm sure if I couldn't make it, you wouldn't be pissed at me. We just reschedule, we do it some other time, you know, but at this time, in life, you know, you just, sometimes a lot of people, we all do it. We always just kind of want to be like, want to appease some people sometimes, or do this, you know, you got to kind of step back and not overwhelm ourselves as well. But at the same time, be as truthful as you fucking can. Just don't make up shit, or don't, you know, just be like, I just can't at this time, or you know, whatever the case it might be. It's crazy.
I know with me, like, you know, one of my biggest things, and I can't believe what I'm going to say this out loud, is depression, you know, like, that's my biggest thing is I'm dealing with depression and trying to just be real about it, right? Like, confronting it, right? Like, I know that that is my big kind of, you know, elephant in the room, and it's about, you know, just being real with it and being transparent. And, you know, like, to your point, like, sometimes I'll have something scheduled and I'll be like, man, I really don't feel like doing that. I just feel like just, like, chilling and not being social. Being a complete introvert.
I'm always there most of the times.
I feel like being just a complete introvert, and it seems like so much energy that I have to expel to be around other people, and I just don't want to do that. Maybe I could just call and cancel everything, and I'll just do my own thing. And I deal with that all the time. It, you know, I force myself to be more social at times, and you know, it's also very complex because, like, most people, honestly, like, know me as being extremely social, like, usually in social settings, I'm the social butterfly, but in reality, I'm kind of an introvert.
I got the same duality. I've loved and also hated the quarantine, you know, especially at this moment, since I'm a lot more comfortable, and I also got out of a relationship, so it's like, I'm like, so I crave, like, social connection now, like, I want it back so bad.
And thank you so much for listening to the Learning Man podcast. My name is Omar Cantu. I could not thank you enough for joining me on this journey. If you enjoyed what you heard and would like some more of that content, we're going to be dropping new episodes every Friday. So make sure and hit that follow button wherever you listen to your podcast, and write us a review, because it really does help the channel. Share what topic you want to tackle next, or maybe the name of a guest that you want to hear from. Thank you again for joining in this journey. It means so much to me.